for a new day. We're looking at some stories from Judges through the prophets. And today we're looking at Samson. We talked about this summary of the law, 613 laws of the Old Testament. Put God first. Be faithful to your family and treat others fairly. That's the theme of the Ten Commandments. It's the themes of all the other laws in the Old Testament. And Jesus summarizes the law by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. He takes that from Deuteronomy. And he said, the second commandment is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the theme in these Old Testament stories is that if we live life God's way, putting God first, being faithful to family, treating others fairly, then things will go well in our life. And when we don't, things have a way of falling apart. And that's where we pick up the story of Samson in Judges chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. That means they were worshiping other gods. And the Lord God gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. And you can read about Nazarites. It's a holy order. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 6. People set aside for a purpose, a holy purpose. And the marks of this holiness of being set aside is that don't eat grapes or raisins or drink wine, nothing from the fruit of the grape. They don't drink alcohol and they never cut their hair. It's a sign of having a special purpose. Pick it up again. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. This is what's being told about the baby to be born. Then the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that of an angel of God, most awe-inspiring. I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, in the story of Samson, teach us redemption. Teach us your holy purposes. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So the baby is born to Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, and he grows up and he does have amazing superhuman strength. How strong is Samson? We just have a little sample here from Judges 13 through 16. You can read the rest of the story later if you like. He is so strong that a lion comes at him attacking him, and he tears the lion apart with his bare hands. He's so strong that the men of Judah were convinced by the Philistines to try to betray Samson into their powers. And, you know, Samson was willing to play along. He said, you're not going to hurt me if I let you tie me up, are you? And they said, no, we're not going to hurt you. We're just going to hand you over to the Philistines. So he lets the Judites tie him up with two new ropes. But when he gets handed over to the Philistine, he just snaps those ropes like they're nothing. And then he kills the Philistines. He picks up the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 3,000 men with the only weapon in his hand is the jawbone of a donkey. He's so strong that he went to the city of Gaza. And there were a few Philistine soldiers that decided, let's lock the gate. We'll have Samson stuck inside with us, the city gates locked. And then we will attack him when he's ready to go out. Well, around midnight, Samson decided it was time to go. He found the gate locked and these few Philistine soldiers, but he decided locked doors were not going to keep him, even though there's an iron bar in front of it. He just pulled up the post on the right and he pulled up the post on the left. He lifted the whole massive gate and posts and carried them out with him. And if that wasn't enough, he decided to take them up a little hill, so that when the people of Gaza got up the next morning thinking they were safe and secure in their walled city with their huge gates with the iron bars, they found no gates at all. Where are the gates of our city? They were up there on a little hill, the gates to nowhere. How safe are you now, Gaza? That's just a little sample of Samson's amazing strength. But he does have a problem. He is a very poor judge of character, especially when it comes to women. Samson lets himself be led by his desire. He sees somebody beautiful and he wants that beautiful woman. And he has to have what he sees and what he wants. So he goes down to a certain city and sees a Philistine woman and he likes what he sees. You may be asking yourself, Philistines? Aren't they the enemy? And you would be right. And so his parents say to him, Samson, isn't there a nice Jewish girl from our village who we know and we know her parents that you might have for a wife? And he says, no, I like what I saw over there. Go get her for me. Chapter 13 of Judges. It doesn't work out well at all. It ends in a big disaster. Another time Samson sees something he likes, a woman for hire, also not a good idea. And then shortly thereafter, he sees a woman who's really beautiful. She works for the Philistines. Her name is Delilah. It's even a pretty name, isn't it? Just rolls off your tongue. Delilah. And she was gorgeous. Only problem was, she was being paid by the enemy to find out the secret of Samson's strength. Because they knew there had to be some secret, some superpower, some gift of God. And they wanted to find a way to get around that and make Samson neutralize him, make him weak so that he wouldn't be a threat to them anymore. And so Samson strikes up a relationship with Delilah. He sleeps over. And Delilah is trying to find out the secret to his strength. And he just makes things up at first. She's pestering him. He says, you know, tie me up with new bowstrings. Tie me up with ropes that are brand new, never been used. Braid my hair. I'll be as weak as anybody else. She tries all three of those things, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And each time he falls asleep and she tries one of these tricks, he wakes up and she says, Samson, the Philistines are here. They're ready to attack you. And he just breaks off the ropes, the bowstrings, pulls out his hair. He's strong. He takes care of the Philistines. Delilah's getting frustrated. So on the third night of this, they have a heart-to-heart. And she says, Samson, if you really loved me, you'd help me destroy you. Now, you got to pay attention here. We just want to like shout at Samson and say, Samson, get a clue. This woman is no good for you. Psychologists tell us that past behavior is the best predictor for future behavior. She's tried to betray you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. What do you think is going to happen on Thursday? Because without a lot of counseling and a real change of heart, people are not likely to change their behavior. And if someone says to you, if you really loved me, you'd do what I want. It's not love. That's manipulation. So it's a sad, sad story. Samson goes ahead and tells her the truth. The secret to his strength is his hair. Cut my hair and I'll be as weak as anybody else. And then he lies down in Delilah's lap and she strokes his head and he falls asleep and she has the barber come out from the other room and shave his head. This is a sad, sad story. It's all Samson's fault. Because he's not listening to God. He's not listening to the people who really love him, Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, his parents, who said, can't you find a good Jewish girl who shares our values? He didn't have any of those conversations with her about what are your dreams? What are your hopes? Do I see this as a long-term relationship? Can we make this work? None of that. I don't think Samson has any executive function in his skull. None at all. And it's all on him, his poor judgment. He's responsible for his own bad mistakes. The Philistines come upon him, and they gouge his eyes out. They put shackles on his hands and feet. With chains, they attach him to a millstone like an animal. And he's in a prison cell in the dark and blind, dirty and matted. His hair starts to grow back, but it's filthy and matted. And sometimes they bring him out at parties to dance with his chains rattling so they can laugh at him. Such a sad, sad story. I was driving many years ago. My oldest son, Will McLeod, was in the back seat. He was in his car seat, and I heard this little voice ask, "Mommy, how can Delilah be so beautiful and so mean to Samson?" And I heard this tremble in his voice, so I look in the mirror, and I can see there's tears in his eyes. Well, first, I was mad. Who thought it was a good idea to tell the story of Samson and Delilah to a three-year-old? And then I realized it was one of those parenting moments. They never come when you're expecting them. You're always busy, like unloading the dishwasher, trying to change lanes in bad traffic, and a child will ask you this earth-shattering, important question. It's an opportunity as a parent to share your values, and it's a teachable moment. They come at age 3. They don't likely come at 13 and 16, so use them when they come. And so I decided to tell him the truth, even though he's only 3. I said, "Will, you're going to meet a lot of pretty girls just like Delilah in your life. But you got to understand, there's a difference between pretty on the outside and pretty on the inside. Girls that are pretty on the outside, they're going to make your heart beat faster. And that's wonderful. They're beautiful. But pretty on the inside is loving and kind. And you want pretty on the inside and pretty on the outside. But if you can't have both, go for pretty on the inside." But Samson didn't use good judgment. And here he is in a prison cell, blind and disfigured and filthy. Now, I get sidetracked in the story of Samson, and I sometimes get stuck right here. Samson's poor judgment, what a bad role model he is. But that's not the end of the story. And we have to read to the end of chapter 16 to find out God's purposes in Samson's life. So there's a big festival. It's a big event in the Philistine community. Thousands of people come out to this hall, and we read there all the lords and ladies of the Philistines were there, the military leaders. I kind of wonder who took Delilah as their date. I'm thinking it was a junior officer. They were partying and dancing and eating. It was a great event, and somebody said, "Let's bring Samson out. He can dance for us." They used to be terrified of him. Now he's pathetic. So they bring Samson out with his chains. He's disfigured. He's filthy. His hair is matted with a little stubble growing back. And they make him dance so they can laugh at him. The one they were afraid of for his wonderful strength, now they just laugh at him. And Samson danced. And then he said to the guard, "I'm really tired. Can you lead me to the pillar so I can lean on something?" And he found a pillar to the right and a pillar to the left. And Samson has a moment of clarity. It's a moment where he sees himself as he truly is. Not blind, not disfigured, not disheveled, not filthy. He sees himself as a child of God Almighty, a son of Israel, who has a purpose that God has given him. It says there in the beginning of chapter 13, a purpose from his birth until his death, his whole life long. He has a special purpose to be the deliverer of Israel. He sees himself clearly. He knows his purpose. And so Samson prays. He prays two things. First, he prays, "Remember me, O Lord God Almighty." On the surface, that sounds like an unnecessary prayer, because how could God forget us? God is our creator. How could a parent forget a child? God would never forget you or Samson. But in the Hebrew Bible, remembering is an important act of faith. We remember who God is. We remember our salvation story. We remember the power of bread and cup and communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering is an affirmation of faith. God, you are my God. And so Samson is committing himself anew to God in that prayer. Remember me, O God. And his second part of his prayer is, give me strength one more time, this one last time. And God answers that prayer and gives him strength. And he puts a hand on a pillar to his right and a hand on a pillar to his left. And he pulls the whole structure down. And it says in Judges chapter 16 that the number of the enemy killed in Samson's death, as it fell down upon him as well, was greater number than the number he killed in his whole life. And his brothers came, dug through the rubble, found Samson's body, took him home to bury him next to mom and dad. The point of this story is to be faithful to God and things will go well. And if you find yourself wandering away and by poor judgment and mistakes, find yourself in a desolate place, remember God, because God will always remember you. You belong to him. Return to God and ask God for strength, and God will show up in your life. I have been so touched by the people of this body of Christ, especially some of the older adults who've been caring for a spouse who's ill or whose mind is wandering, and caring for that loved one in such a beautiful and powerful way. And so many of them tell me their prayer is day by day, give me strength today. Let me be strong enough to take care of my loved one. Let me live long enough to take care of my loved one, even knowing that means they will be the one left alone when this beloved spouse goes to be with Jesus. I think those couples are even more beautiful than young couples on their wedding day, because their love has been tested and tried, and it's being lived out, their commitment in these years. I don't know what's going on in your life, but we have a Jesus who is all about second chances, just like God gave another opportunity to Samson. Jesus meets Zacchaeus right where he is, and Zacchaeus turns his whole life around. Jesus tells us the story of the prodigal son, the father who is God, who waits at home, waiting for this young man to come to his senses and come home. And he doesn't get his heritage and his inheritance restored, but he gets his relationship restored. He gets to start all over again, just like Jesus met the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, we have a God of second chances, a God of redemption, a God who redeemed Samson's poor judgment and allowed Samson the strength to fulfill his purpose. And as we come to the communion table, we come to receive bread that represents Jesus' broken body, and there's power in the brokenness of Jesus' body. And a cup that represents Jesus' blood poured out for us, and there's strength in the cup for you. So what are God's purposes in your life? And where do you need his strength today? Let us pray. Oh God, we come to you in these moments, preparing to receive of bread and cup. And we ask that you would meet us in these humble elements with your power and with your purposes. As we kneel at the altar, as we take bread and cup, we pray, O God, that you would meet us here and whisper into our hearts your purposes and strengthen our hearts with your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We invite those who are serving communion to come forward in a moment, and you will be coming forward to receive by intinction. You'll be given a piece of bread, and you'll dip it, the corner of the bread, into the cup. If you prefer gluten-free bread, it will be over there by the U.S. flag. And you'll come by the center aisle. If you want to take a moment to kneel at the altar, you may, and return by the side aisle. And we'll begin on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters. You gave Samson strength when his own was gone. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.